I'm just going to give it all to you up front. What that means is there is stuff from heaven in this room. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And what we can see in one another, in the faith, we are seeing stuff from heaven. That's what substance is, right? Evidence. This is from heaven. This is not what I came up with. This is not what you came up with. This is what we've been given. The substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. I want to give you an encouragement as we endure through the last message of the day here. That the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, right? I realize that. And so I'll try to help you stay awake if you'll help me preach. So that'll work. It'll work both ways. It'll be a mutual gift to one another. You remember Christian came in his pilgrimage. He came up to the enchanted ground, and it made him tired. So remember that now. Sleeping is dangerous. Amen. So don't fall asleep on me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This is the basis of confidence. You have the substance of what you're hoping for. Not a wish. You have the substance of what you're hoping for. And you have evidence of the things that are not seen. Not seen as yet. Moses was moved by things not seen as yet. But there was a day coming. It was seen. But he was moved with fear before it was seen. We have the evidence of things not seen. We have substance and we have evidence. So our assurance and our confidence comes from substance. And it comes from evidence. Amen. And it's not things that we just stumbled on. It's not things that we just found. It's not something we were just talked into. Faith comes to us. Faith comes by hearing. It comes. Faith came to us. It came from the author and the finisher of our faith. Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a gift given to us, a gift from heaven. Faith has been given to us. It's been given to us to believe. It's a gift. Faith is a gift that God has given. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you've been given a gift. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. But our Father in heaven, it's been given to you to believe. Now, we use faith and believing interchangeably because believing is what faith does. Okay, so they are interchangeable. Faith is believing, and believing is it's like verb and noun. Faith is the noun and verb, and believing is the verb. It's what it does. It's how it makes itself known. Faith is a provision from heaven. We've been asked to love not our lives in this world for something not seen as yet. So our faith is a provision. Faith is the power. It's the persuasion. To lose your life in this world so that you can keep it unto eternal life, and you're going to have more than just a wish to do it. It's got to be more than just a whim of a bad day. Well, I'm done with this world because I just had a bad day, so I'm done with the world. You got to have more than that to give up your life in this world. You got to have substance and you got to have evidence, and that's exactly what God has given. Just a couple of what I like to call house cleaning statements of things that, like, what do you do when you house clean? You get rid of stuff? So there's some things in the religious house that we have to just get rid of. And one of them is talking about faith as if, I need faith because I don't know what to do now. Faith is not we don't need faith when we don't know that. Let me start over. We don't just need faith when we don't have enough money to pay the bills. Well, now I'm going to have to live by faith. Maybe you've heard people talk about this. That there's more weak than there is paycheck. Faith will help you trust in God for that too, but that's not the essence of faith. That's not the foundation of faith. Is substance of things hoped for. That's what faith is about. And it's the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is all about. Amen. Things not seen, of course, are the eternal things. Amen. We're given that as the things that are not seen, they're eternal. We're looking at those things. Second house cleaning item is that faith is more than trust. Trust is something that faith does. When you have substance and evidence, you trust God. You can trust God because you have the substance of the things that you're hoping for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith certainly does trust, but trust is not a synonym for faith. Amen. Faith is broader. Faith is deeper. And I wanted to encourage you also, this is a very familiar text. I mean, some of us have known this, you know, we could say our whole lives. And so it's a familiar text, like John 3:16, and there's Genesis 1:1. And there's certain texts that are familiar, just roll right out of your mouth, roll right off of your tongue. Don't let the familiarity of a common text elude you of the depth of that text. You want to dig into it and see the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What we have, brethren, is we are members of a race that is born blind, born deaf, born alienated, born dead, and born having no ability to receive the things of God. The flesh cannot receive the things of God. That's what we have by nature. Can't see, can't hear, can't understand, can't think with God, don't know the ways of God, alienated, afar off. I mean, what's going to be done for this race? What can we do? If that's how we started, that's how everybody starts. In Adam, in the world. This is the predicament. This is what you're faced with. What can be done? What will be done for a race like this? Faith. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Is there hope of a tree if it cuts that it is cut down and it live again? If there's hope of a tree, there's hope for this race. God made them both. So the world does look very grim if you look at the world or the race, the human race, without God. If you look at anything without God, it looks grim. I appreciate Brother Rodney's desire to pray for the church, pray for all the brethren concerning the times that we're living in. We're living in times, brethren, that could be the beginning of the end. I mean, I'm just about convinced of this, that you can transplant those texts of Jesus talking about men's hearts failing them for fear because of the things about them, and it looks like current news. It looks like headlines. This is what's happening. But see, there's faith. There's faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So how is heaven going to convince men of heaven? How are men on earth going to be convinced of a place that is imperceivable to their senses? You can't see it with these eyes. You can't hear it with these ears. You can't feel it with these hands. You can't understand it with this mind. How is heaven going to convince men? How are people that are in a world that's passing away, in a world that is surrounded with death and decay because it's cursed, how are people in this world going to be convinced of a world that will never pass away and where the riches are incorruptible, where moth and rust don't destroy, and where nobody breaks through and steals? How are people going to be convinced of that? Faith. Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith sees what these eyes can't see. Faith hears what these ears can't hear. Amen. Faith lays hold on things that these hands can't lay hold of. Flesh and blood cannot make these, they do not reveal these things. They cannot take hold of these things, but faith does. Faith is a spiritual sense far superior to the five senses of these bodies. Right now, we're employing these senses that God built into our bodies of faith. See, as you are listening to me, you're looking at me too. You ever notice how your senses are tied together? You look and you hear at the same time. You hear something and you look. Well, technically, you could hear it, right, if you didn't look. But we always look when we hear. You look in that direction. When Jesus gave that, he read the scroll of Isaiah, all of the eyes were fixed on him. He wasn't motioning the words. He was reading. They were hearing, but their eyes were fixed on him. All the senses are sanctified. All the senses are employed in receiving, but all of these senses can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Not all of them together. They're all impotent when it comes to eternal things. They're all impotent when it comes to the things hoped for and the things not seen. But faith is far superior to all of them. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The Lord didn't send a debater to convince us. He sent the author of faith. The Lord didn't send a scientist to persuade us with test results. He sent faith. He sent the author of faith. He didn't send a performer from heaven to stir the emotions. He sent faith. He sent the author of faith. Jesus didn't come as a dictator to control by fear. Jesus didn't come as a professor to lecture the mind. Jesus came and he's the author of faith. Substance of things hoped for. Faith is the work of Jesus. He's the author. Faith is what Jesus is making. He's creating. He's making. That's what an author does, right? An author creates. An author writes. There's a story. There's a narrative. There's an idea. He creates something. That's what an author does. Faith originates with Jesus, and he gives it. He gives it to us. The faith, substance and evidence. He's the author. Faith is the heavenly convincer. Faith is God's persuader of men. Persuader of men. Other versions say the conviction of things hoped for. It says the substance of things hoped for or the conviction of things hoped for. Well, when we have substance, we're convinced, right? That's the conviction, is being convinced. That's the substance of things. Now, he says faith is, not like. Now, many times Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like that. It's like a great net. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. But he didn't say faith is like the substance of things hoped for. Faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we're not here in the, we're not in the realms of philosophy. It's kind of like this, or think of it like this. We're not grasping. Faith is. Faith is the substance of what we're hoping for. You have some of the reward now. You have some of eternity now. That's what faith is. It's substance and it's evidence. This is why the household of faith, brethren, is a lineage of people not only willing to die for their faith, but they have. Give up their lives for the faith. That's what substance and evidence does. It convinces. The Lord is here. The Lord is laboring to help us believe. The Lord has given us testimony. He's given us a record of miracles. He's given us promises that he's fulfilled. He has given us the inspired word, and then he's given us faith. See, the Lord, look at everything the Lord has done and is doing, and think of it like this. The Lord is helping us to believe. We can look out these windows and see the creation that he made, and he says he made it by Christ, and he's asking us to believe on Christ. And he put us in a world that Christ Jesus made with his own word. Amen. I mean, the Lord's helping us to believe. Things hoped for and things not seen. These are the things that cannot be shaken, the things that will remain. So, brethren, faith, walking by faith, means that we're not chasing after the wind. We have substance. We have evidence. We've heard people say, well, if it doesn't all turn out, at least serving the Lord is a good lifestyle if it doesn't all turn out. Faith doesn't talk that way. If it doesn't turn out, then we are of all men most miserable. We've wasted our lives. If we just live here and die like animals, then let us eat and drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. But see, in the faith, we're not chasing after the wind. We're not beating the air. We have substance. We have evidence. We're not after an abstract chance. We're not chasing philosophies. We have evidence. This is what's convincing. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now let's put Hebrews 11:1 in there. We walk by substance, not by sight. We walk by the substance of things hoped for. We walk by the evidence of things not seen. Not by sight. We're walking by evidence. Evidence from God. We're walking by the substance and the evidence. Here's another one. The just shall live by substance and evidence. Isn't that what he says? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by the substance of things hoped for. The just shall live by the evidence of things not seen. Doesn't that work? I mean, think of it that way. Taking the shield of substance, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Thereby taking the shield of evidence, whereby, see, there's substance and evidence, is effective against the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith is substance and evidence. I want to call Abraham and Caleb to the witness stand. You know, Abraham and Caleb are part of the great cloud of witnesses that we've come to. We've come to an innumerable company of witnesses. Abraham and Caleb and all the prophets, they're in that company. And so they're testifying to us. So I want Abraham to account that no one could sway him from believing God. God gave him a promise, and Abraham believed God, and he wavered not in unbelief. He believed that what God had promised, he was able also to believe. In spite of being old, Abraham believed God. In spite of Sarah never having children, these are not early 20-something newlyweds. They've been married a long time, never had children. The deadness of Sarah's womb, the age of Abram, I believe God. Now, it says he hoped against hope. In hope against hope, he believed God. And what that means is that nature had a valid argument against the promise of God. Nature had a valid argument. He, against hope, believed in hope. Nature said, this will never happen. God said it will. Abraham sided with God. Amen. That's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Never been seen before. Abraham couldn't tap Sarah on the shoulder. He says, well, don't you remember God's done this before? They couldn't say that. It had never been done before. See, we have this record. We have this help of believing. We can look back and see all this rich record of everything God's done. Abraham and Sarah didn't have that, but they believed God. And Caleb, nobody could deter Caleb. He's an old man now. He lived through the whole wandering, and now he's an old man coming into the... And somebody could have said, now Caleb, why don't you sit down with your cane, and we'll take the land, and then you can just walk. No, Caleb said, my strength hasn't abated at all. He's an old man. But faith, see, Caleb saw the promised land with faith. Not everyone did. Those 10 spies, they looked at the promised land without the promise. The promised land, they looked at without faith, and they just saw walls, and they saw giants, and they saw impossibilities, but Caleb and Joshua looked at it with faith, and it looked totally different. He believed that God would give it to him in spite of the enemies, and Caleb didn't have past experience. Now, he had seen some of the works of God, so he did have some reason, you know, some things to reason back about, but he'd never seen this before. But he believed God. This would not be expedient militarily for Joshua and Caleb to take on that country. But by faith, it was expedient because God had made a promise and God is able to do what God says. Substance is something that's real. It's something that's solid, right? It's not a theory. It's not a philosophy. It's not an idea. It's not abstract. It's substance. It's something that's solid. It's substantial. Part of the definition of the word substance actually means to set under as a support. So your substance, see, just to draw a parable to this, your house sits on something substantive. That's why it's still there. You know, because it's sitting on something solid. It's sitting on something real. It has a foundation. Faith is the substance. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. It's substance. It's real. Faith, substance is like, it's like a divine currency. It's like a divine, it's like capital. There's capital. Now, with faith, see, you can receive from God and you can give to God. Faith makes you a trader. Didn't a trader, T-R-A-D-E-R. You can trade. It makes you a participator in the divine economy. That's what faith does, because it's substance. It's substance and evidence. I think of Solomon saying, buy the truth and sell it not. Well, what do you use to buy? In the prophet Isaiah, it says, come buy without money. What do you buy with this faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Genesis 7:4 says, speaking of the flood, that he would destroy every living substance. So substance has to do with life. Every living substance. Genesis 13:6, it says Abraham and Lot, they divided company because their substance was very great. Now this their substance was not just like, you know, stuff they accumulated in the closet, like hobby stuff, you know. Their substance was very great. It was their livelihood. their substance. It was their animals and their flocks and their herds, and it was their livelihood. That's what substance is. It was their livelihood. Isaiah 6 talks about the substance of the trees. What is the substance of the trees? It's the sap, the life source of the tree. That's the substance. You see how the Lord defines words he uses? Now, when he gets into Hebrews 11, he says, the substance of things hoped for. It's like, well, I see God's used this word before. I can take a hold of this. There were women in Luke chapter 8 that ministered unto Jesus of their substance. What was that? Is it resource? It was a resource, their substance. They ministered to him. And the prodigal son in Luke 15, he wasted his substance. What was his substance? His inheritance. That was his inheritance. He wasted it. The substance of things hoped for. It's a life source. It's a livelihood. It's a resource. It's part of our inheritance. The substance of things hoped for. The things hoped for is things that will be, things that will come, the things that are promised that God hasn't given in fullness yet, he's given the first fruits of. We have some of what God's promised. That's faith. Substance of things hoped for. Have you not experienced the joy of the Lord? You have. That's substance of things hoped for. You have some of the joy that you'll have in fullness there. You've had the peace of God, that you've been received by God, you've been forgiven by God, that you're welcome in the presence of God. That's the peace of God. That's the first fruits of what we'll have in heaven. There'll be peace forevermore. That will go no more out. The things hoped for. What is it that you hope for? Why do we hope? What is it that has given birth to a hope in people for a world that we've never been to? Like, how can this happen? Have you ever just really wanted a food that you've never tasted of? I mean, never smelled or have no familiarity with, but you really want to eat that food. You see, this familiarity is part of what genders a desire. It's a smell, or somebody else giving you a testimony of how good that food is. Now you want to try it? See, this is the economy of faith. So when Jesus says, behold, I make all things new, he's going to make all things new in the world to come. He's already made us new creatures in him. See, that is what makes us desire for all things to be new. He's made us new. We have some substance of things hoped for. And he spoke of the times of the restitution of all things. Well, we've been restored. We've been restored to God. We're in fellowship with God, been reconciled to God. Now, there's coming a time, there's going to be a restitution of all things. Of all things going to be restored to God. In Christ, in the end, he's going to bring all things together in Christ. That's the restitution of all things. That's already begun. We're in the first fruits of that, and so we have a very real, substantive desire for that to happen because it's already began. We're already tasting of it. That's the substance of things hoped for. Evidence. The evidence of things not seen. Evidence is proof. We have the evidence. We have the proof of things not seen. Now that proof is not necessarily going to, is not going to satisfy everybody that says, show me proof. It's not the kind of proof that they're asking for. But we have the substance, we have the evidence. We have the evidence of things not seen, or the conviction. Proof is something that eliminates doubts. I love this about Daniel. It says that he dissolves doubts. He explained things. He made things known. He dissolved doubts. I mean, Jesus did the same thing, right? He'd say things. They just think something. He'd tell them what they thought. And reading thoughts, reading hearts. They just dissolve doubts. Well, by... You live by faith, brethren, and your doubts dissolve. We have the evidence. It's evidence of things not seen. Only the only place in the new, what we call the New Testament scriptures is the only place that word is used, evidence. The only other place that the word evidence is used in scripture is Jeremiah 32, and it was when the prophet bought he made a purchase of land, and he signed the evidence. What was it that he signed? It was like a deed of ownership. It was a transaction. There was evidence. He even talked about evidences. He'd take these evidences to the court, the government, you know, of the city. Take these evidences to the men that ruled, the rulers. The evidences was the deed signed and the money. There was a transaction. The evidences were the proof of the transaction, that this person, this party, no longer owns that piece of land, and now somebody else, this that's signed here, here's the money, here's the signed deed, now this piece, this property is owned by someone else. There's evidences of that. Well, salvation is an eternal transaction, that the sin of the world, our sin, was laid on him. And then he imputed righteousness to us. This is an eternal transaction, and we have evidence. We have evidence of that transaction. The deed, it's proof, it's convincing proof. And this is evidence of things not seen. That is eternal things. Things not seen, we're not talking about things that can go, that you have to have the microscope to see. No, if you can see it with a microscope, then guess what? It's not unseen, because the microscope saw it. Unseen things are eternal things. Things that are outside of this creation. Things that are inaccessible to the five senses, inaccessible to the flesh. They're not detectable. They're not perceptible. We love Jesus, whom we have not seen. But we have the evidence. We have evidence of things not seen. Jesus said, "Blessed are they who have not seen, yet have believed." We love God whom we have not seen. But how can you love him whom you have not seen? We have evidence. We have evidence. We have a deposit. The one whom we love has made a deposit in us. It's called faith. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. His own right arm has brought salvation. The right arm is not seen. It's something the not seen. But we have evidence. We have evidence of that right arm bringing salvation. You are evidence of that right arm bringing salvation. You've been delivered from this present world, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's evidence of the right arm of God bringing salvation. We have evidence of things not seen. In Hebrews chapter 6, I wanted to read several verses here from Hebrews chapter 6. Because the Holy Spirit here is talking about substance and evidence. Hebrews chapter 6, starting verse 4. It's impossible for... It's a negative context. It's a warning context. But he describes the salvation experience. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. What is he talking about but substance and evidence? That's a substance of things hoped for, the tasting of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Let me give you an example of what that is, and I'll prove to you that every one of you have tasted of the powers of the world to come. You have been tempted, and you've overcome. You've overcome. You've resisted, and he has fled from you. That is tasting of the powers of the world to come. That is. By faith, you've quenched the fiery darts of the wicked one. You've tasted of the powers of the world to come. You have overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've tasted of the powers of the world to come. This is the prerogative of faith. Only faith can give a taste of the powers of the world to come. And it does exactly that. No other way can men in earth taste anything else from another world. How are you going to ascend above and bring it down? Go get a taste? There's no way. This is the prerogative of faith, that you taste of the powers of the world to come. We sang that song, Rock of Ages, last night. Maybe it was this morning. And one of the verses says, when we rise to worlds unknown. And I understand that as an expression of hope, an expression of longing. The world's unknown. We'll rise to worlds unknown. But by faith, it's not totally unknown. We have the first fruits. We're tasting of the powers of the world to come. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. And we have the substance of things hoped for. So it's like when we don't know the fullness. It's not been revealed. Neither have it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. But it's not totally unknown. We have a desire for it. And we have the first fruits of it. So when you enter the gates into the world to come, And you see the glories, and you see the banquet table, and you see the throne, and you see the 24 elders, and you see that everything that we know about it, you know, just think about it. If you can, you know, compress it all into your mind in one thought, you see it all, and you've never seen it before, but it's going to be intimately familiar. It is going to be intimately familiar because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we have some stuff now from heaven. Faith is far above ideas and far above philosophies. Faith is not just a paradigm. Faith is much more than just a different way to look at things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I'll leave you with this conclusion. It is such a beautiful arrangement that in the end, God's people will stand before God filled with the gift of God. We're going to stand before God, the judge of all the earth, and we are actually going to be the product of God's working in the earth. We're going to be filled with His Spirit, clothed in His Son, filled with the faith that came from Him, and then God's going to judge. God's going to judge His work. I can't think of a better arrangement than to stand before God having been filled with the gift of God and filled with the provision of God, filled with faith from God and filled with the Spirit of God, and that'll make for a joyful day. It really will. So faith being the basis of our confidence is that faith came from Him. And faith convinced us of Him. And in the end, ultimately, faith brings us to Him. And then we have the judgment. So we'll stand before Him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We'll say, this is our God. He's come to save us. So I commend to you and I recommend to you that you live by faith. It's a gift from God. It's a provision from God. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So open to any comments that the brethren have.
I like how you made mention of the guy and the deed and all that. And I thought that Jesus is the highest evidence of all of the things not seen. And that His blood is what bought and paid for us. And now He has ownership of us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Maybe think of His, what He bought and what
right.
He paid for.
Amen.
I like what you said about the witness of nature and the witness of God with regard to Abraham and the impossibility of Abraham and Sarah having a child. The witness of God said no, and God said yes. God said it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what was the word you used. Was what?
Witness of nature.
The witness of nature and the witness of God.
Yeah.
Abraham sighted God.
So, Dan.
I'm fascinated too with this matter of Joshua and Caleb. And I looked at while you were talking in chapter 13 of Joshua. So, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, you are old and stricken in years. He agreed. This they're getting ready to divide the land. They've been 40 years in the wilderness, and it took them 5 years for the initial campaign to move in. Now they're ready to divide it. So Caleb wants his peace. He wants his part. And here's what he said. He says, I was 40 years old when he went to spy it out. He said, now I'm 85. And he says, the Lord has set me alive. I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now. For war to go in out. I don't think that was an idle boast. I don't think he was just saying that like
no.
You know, old person says, it's not like that. if the Lord can keep their clothes from getting old,
that's right.
And keep their shoes from wearing out, He kept this man.
That's right.
He like suspended his aging process.
Amen.
See, the point of this is not just for history. He can do this. Your faith can do this. What you first got and your first love and all these things, the Lord can work with that, guarantee that.
Amen.
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 Good word.
14 says the Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. And was it Ezekiel that hid the evidence? Ezekiel or
Jeremiah?
Jeremiah, I think. Yeah, so Jeremiah purchased the land, and then it was going to come in and be taken over by an enemy. Mm-hmm. And it was a pledge of the hope and confidence that God was going to bring them back. Right? So he purchased land that was going to be taken over by the enemy, knowing that it was going to come back to them. They were going to come back there.
Yep.
And so God has purchased us and given us the Holy Spirit as the evidence. And he's coming back to get us.
Yeah. And then he hid us in Christ. Like Jeremiah hid the evidence and we're hidden in Christ.
Good and every perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights. So if God in his opening up his person to us, see, he gives us to see that things that he gives are good and that they are perfect. And then it redounds to the glory of God and recognition that you said about this faith. Faith comes from God. People of God who receive it recognize this is good. This is something new.
Yeah.
This is a good gift. This is a perfect gift.
Uh-huh.
And we give glory to God for it. We've been brought into an understanding that this is our God. What he gives to his people are good and perfect gifts.
Amen.
Faith is
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
With that. You made a comparison with, calling faith in a spiritual sense. That's able to lay hold of eternal things where all the five senses, even combined, cannot touch any of them. And it was good thinking about that. And thinking about, in view of that, how we must live by faith. You actually have to overcome what your five senses can see or can touch. You have to be more convinced about what you can't see than all those things. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, is living that way.
Amen.
About
this,
don't see.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.